1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
I got this off, actually Wayne printed this off from a website called Apex Garage. And the guy writes, there are supercars in this world like the Lamborghini. You know, you heard Ted Bell, he was talking about this. The Lamborghini Murcielago and the Ferrari F430. Now, this guy says, that's it, baby. That's state of the art. It don't get better than the Lamborghini Murcielago and the Ferrari F430. They sit comfortably atop the automotive world. Now, just below those two are what he calls the uber-fantastic supercars. These cars are, and they are so impressive that people who live in Malibu and Monte Carlo, maybe they haven't even seen one of these cars. They are the Porsche Carrera GT, and he calls it the late Ferrari Enzo. I guess when he says that, there's only four in the world. Well, there's three now. The Celine S7 and the Mercedes-Benz SLR McLaren. So those are, is that four? So there's two that are the Primo Creme de la Creme, the Capo di Tucapi, and then the four that are just below it. And you know what? You and me, we ain't never going to see the inside of one of them, man, except at an auto show. All right. 450 Gs. I don't care how fat I get, if I ever get that fat. I ain't going to spend a half a mil on it. Well, I guess I would. I mean, look at it. If you're made out of dough, if you're making Oprah money, why not? One of the things you got to get the tax write off. Of course, anything above $2 million, they say, for a house, it doesn't matter. In other words, if you're $2 million is where you get a nice, is you max out on the tax advantage of owning a really big house. Anything over that, they say. But I, you know, when I say they, I'm talking about my accountant. But I like to read about these kinds of cars because it's, I don't know. I mean, I've never been a guy who knows a lot about automobiles, but God. There is something about riding around in a car that is very unique. It's an extension of us. That's why, as I've said, the damn, what do you call them, those hybrids, Jack, man, they ain't never going to sell until they get those things sexed up. I got to be riding around and the thing looks like a pregnant roller skate, looks like a glorified bug. You know, come on, man. How come just because the cats that are pushing hybrid cars are all of the wheat berry eaters and the people who wear the knee socks, how come you got to make cars that those people would be comfortable in? What about the rest of us? I know that the whole wheat crowd is into it, but what about the rest of us? I'd drive one. Just that I don't walk around wearing one of those, you know, Rastafarian caps, and I ain't got my dreadlocks all piled up high inside of there, and I'm not going down and taking the big scoop and digging deep into the barrel of soy and carrying my own little cloth bag. As Bob Green would say, you look like a homeless bum. Anyway, I kid because I love. I'm Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. And I'm going to roll out another flashback request for you here in a few minutes. And now this weekend, United 93 opens up. This is a new movie, and it's directed by a guy named Greengrass. Now, is his name Phil or Paul? Paul Greengrass. This guy made a movie, as I mentioned yesterday, called Bloody Sunday that I saw. It came out in 2002. He made the film as if it were a documentary. In other words, if you were looking at a documentary, that's what Bloody Sunday looked like. All the actors improvised and ad-libbed. Didn't ad-lib, but I'm sure they rehearsed. But there was no real written script so much as there was set scenes. And the effect was you were right in the middle of this huge, horrific day where the British Army opened up on these peace demonstrators in Northern Ireland, and it showed it from both sides, what was going through the minds of the British soldiers, what was going through the minds of the demonstrators. It's one of the most amazing movies I've ever seen. If he made this movie, United 93, like he made this Bloody Sunday, I'm going to tell you, it'll be like being inside of that aircraft when it happened. Now, how will we ever really know? What we have are two things. Well, we actually have three things. We have the radar tracking of the plane. We have the cockpit recorder. We have the air traffic recordings, meaning the recordings of the air traffic controllers themselves. We have the cell phone conversations of the people who were in the aircraft at the time talking to their loved ones. And I've been reading a lot of IMDb.com message boards and a lot of different message boards. And I am stunned. I mean, honest to God, I mean, I know there's some pretty stupid people out there, but I never knew the depth to which people are going to go to avoid seeing this movie. There's a lot of folks out there who don't want to see this flick. And my opinion is this. After having read all of these things, they don't want to be reminded that it actually happened. Because if they are reminded that it actually happened, then it takes them back to that day when they were challenged in their traditional way of thinking about the world in this country. And it was an uncomfortable day. And they didn't want to live through that challenge of thought and philosophy. And so they put it out of their minds as fast as they could. And they went back to their, you know, kind of rote thinking, which was it was all caused by Bush and the CIA, which is kind of the way they thought. To go back to that day and to live that day means that you have to relive how you were feeling then. You know, the blind, blatant truth, the blind, murderous truth. And some people don't want to do that. They want to continue on with the comfortable thinking, which is America causes it all. We know where all the bodies are buried. There isn't anything that goes wrong in the world that America doesn't cause. Now, that's the way a kid thinks. A kid thinks mommy and daddy know what's best, and whatever happens, mommy and daddy will take care of it. And if anything bad happens, mommy and daddy knows why it happens. The only problem is you get older and you realize that your parents aren't perfect. And then you realize how the real world works. Now, there's some people in this country who aren't old enough. You know, they're still stunted. They're still down there in childhood thinking that, well, really, the government. I'm going to go see it. Why not? I've studied the history of the events. I lived through it in a contemporaneous fashion. I mean, I've read the news reports. I believe that I have the whatever facts are out there, I believe I have them firmly in grasp. I haven't talked to one human being, not one human being, that has had any credible evidence that 9/11 was anything other than what it was, terrorists who murdered 3,000 people. There's not one person on the internet or anywhere else that has presented anything other than their own speculation. And those people are the ones that lead the charge, man. They don't want to go see this movie. And boy, I swear to God, on IMDb, there was a guy just, 9/11 was a lie. If you don't believe me, just check on it. And they deleted all of the crap because that's not what the movie board's about, right? But the minute you bring that day up, everybody wants to rush to, it didn't happen, Bush caused it. Didn't happen, Bush caused it. Didn't happen, Bush caused it. These people are stuck in this mode of thinking, which is pre-September 11th. It's what I call the September 10th people. It's still Vietnam, and it's still, you know, America, CIA. They're the ones that did it. Now, what they do is they take a lot of historical fact, and they turn it into a large global conspiracy. These people don't know how close they are to being anti-Semitic, because these people, if they continue with their thinking, they're going to be right in line with every Nazi who thinks the Jews own everything. Swear to God. Did America abuse its power around the world? Yes. Did America usurp democratically elected governments? Yes. Did America do all of this at a time when a lot of other governments were doing it? Yes. Why does America get all of the publicity for it and say the French and the British don't? Because we're bigger than them. And did America, by way of creating all of these things, therefore deserve to have 3,000 of its people murdered on 9/11? No. Now, if you'd like, you could take a look at the Jewish Holocaust and say that 6 million Jews died because of something they did. I mean, that's the same thinking. Well, you know, these Jews, I mean, if they're calling themselves chosen people, they're going to have to expect to get butchered up, which means then we're not supposed to do anything about it, which means the Nazis aren't really the problem. It's the Jews themselves. That's the thinking of people who don't buy 9/11. Now, they're all a bunch of internet geeks. They're all a bunch of conspiracy theorists. And they're all a bunch of people who haven't got one credible shred of evidence other than their own unprofessional speculation. Anyway, I'm going to go see the flick because I do not have any fear of reliving that day at all. And because I'm a big fan of this guy Greengrass, and because I happen to like that style of filmmaking anyway. I also know what the record states. I know what the family members said when they heard the recordings. I know what one of these guys I was reading, one of the family members said, "I can't elaborate." Now, what did he mean by that? What isn't he telling us? Basically, what the FBI asked the family members to do is not divulge anything to the press. Why? Because there's an ongoing investigation into all of this stuff, especially that Massawi piece of garbage. But they wanted the people to hear it. In any event, the flick is out tomorrow, and I suggest you go see it if you've got You know, if you're not one of these people that's just got his head buried so far into the freaking sand, you still think it's 1968 and Dow Chemical Company is manufacturing napalm so as to make tons of money at the expense of burned Vietnamese babies and all of that nice, you know, Vietnam era thinking. But if you're not one of those people, you know, I suspect that most people have got an open mind, go see it. Then again, the people that don't want to go see this movie, probably the same people that want to look at the Nick Berg video. To see that means that you have to confront the madness of what it is we're up against. The sheer psychopathic insanity of it. Because, man, there's nothing scarier than a guy who's wielding a knife who's insane. What you want to believe is that it isn't his fault. It's a rational person who we can deal with. You know, in other words, it's Bush. If you crap all over Bush, no problem. But go ahead, try to go toe-to-toe with some guy who's got a meat axe ready to saw your freaking head off. Go ahead, tell him how you care about him. The freaking guy is the way he is, not because he's got a political agenda, but because he's a psychopath. He's Jeffrey Dahmer's long-lost cousin. If he wasn't sawing off Nick Berg's head, he probably would have cooked it up for a Thanksgiving feast. What do you want? In any event, I was having dinner with a friend. She said to me, I told you this, she said to me, so, 3,000 people are dead, so. She also said, somebody ought to murder Bush. And she made a couple of more comments, and I told her, you know what, that's it. I'm not talking to you anymore, you dummy. Guess who emailed me yesterday? This dumb broad. She think I'm kidding? I'm not going to sit and listen to that stuff anymore. I'm done listening. I've heard it all. I've assessed all of it. I've listened to all the arguments, all the circular logic, all of how it comes back to Bush lied, Bush lied, Bush lied. And it never really addresses the issue of, okay, the action itself. Is the action itself something we should have done? It's the same stupidity. So, you know what? Goodbye. So I'm going to go see that flick. Then I'm going to come home, have a nice big fat meal, get in the hot tub, and have sex with my wife. And maybe I'll take it a matinee of Bambi. And it'll just be a nice day. By the way, if you don't have enough of that, go to airdisasters.com. There's some real interesting reading there. All right, 1-800-449-8686. And coming up, a flashback by request on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, I got a flashback by request from Steve, who's in Boston, and he writes, Phil, there's too many awesome clips I could request that make me die with laughter, but the first that comes to mind is a Lloyd Bonafide clip from the end of last year, where he was on a train and complaining about the gifts his grandchildren gave him for Christmas. An elderly woman called, and the conductor kept calling out the names of different stops that were nowhere near each other. Thanks for bringing the funniest show ever to America, Steve from Boston. Okay, Steven, let me see what I got here, brother. I think we've got this. It's Lloyd. It's from December of 2005 on the train talking to the lady.
First of all, this is my first time calling this program, but I happen to hear Mr. Bonafide.
Yes,
Mr. Bonafide.
Yes, dear.
I'm in my 70s also. I'm the...
Well, God bless you.
I'm the delivering mother of 8 children, 1 adopted,
I don't
which
understand.
Was 9.
What does that mean, delivering?
Means I delivered the baby.
Anna Barbara.
I have 8.
Oh, you delivered your own babies?
No, I delivered 8 babies.
To
my
who?
Husband and I have 8 children.
You gave birth to them?
Yes.
Well, why can't you see, this is the nonsense that young people, why can't you just say that? But no, you got to use all the gobbledygook.
Wait a minute. What do you mean nonsense of young people?
Well,
I'm not young.
You
I'm in my 70s.
Well, yeah, but you got influenced by a lot of this young gobbledygook. I delivered,
no,
you know.
No, I'm just telling you what I did and my children.
Well, yeah, you gave
and what
birth.
I wanted to say to you is I do understand what you're saying, and I understand your complaint.
Thank you very much.
And I also think you're right about a lot of it.
Thank you very much. Finally.
For one thing, I heard you say you put your daughter through private school.
Yes, I did. I took. She went to Ramona Cotman, Bend, Oregon. And she,
I can hear this. I'm sorry.
You want me to move into the club car?
I don't know where you are. Where are you?
Well, I'm standing between cars.
Well, that's the noisiest part of the train.
Well, he's probably away from a lot of other people who are busy talking about other things.
Exactly. I was trying to get, I'll go to the club car.
Hearing him over the radio has worked fine. I'm sure it's not too good for your ears. But
well, it's okay. I'm hearing this.
Okay,
you can hear him,
listeners.
Huh? Okay, real good.
Mr. Bonafide,
Ben, the only thing
I'm wondering about is why haven't you told your daughter she's not inheriting anything? Why haven't you told your daughter their grandchildren will inherit things since you love your grandchild?
See, I'm biding my time because I've got a suspicion that this guy she married, the father of the of a grandson that I love very deeply, is a guy who I think possibly, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I can't hear him.
Yes, I can hear what you're saying.
How many husbands have you had, dear?
One.
I beg your pardon?
One. My oldest child is 50.
Well, wait a minute. You know, you've got 8 kids.
That's right. I had all 8 of them by the time I was 32 years old.
Yeah, but that's not one husband. That's got to be a couple.
No, that's one husband. We were married in August of 1954.
And can I, if you don't mind me asking, what are the ages of your children now? You say the one's 50?
The oldest one is 50, the youngest one is 37, and she's black, and she's adopted. We lost one of our own sons when he was three years old.
You had a black husband, and you had a white husband, too, right?
No. Are you not listening to me?
You said you had one husband, but one of the kids is black.
That's right.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
And I also said she's adopted. Are you listening?
Can I interrupt for a minute? How many times are you guys going to go by Corvallis?
What are you talking about?
I've heard Corvallis about 6 times.
Mr. Henry, maybe you should listen to what's being said. This lady is telling me she's got a black kid, which is fine.
I do not have a black kid.
You said you gave birth.
I said we adopted a black baby when she was 4 days old. She's now 37, and she's a nurse.
Uh-huh. All right, now, how old is the... What I'm trying to figure out is if they ever let you up for air. You know? Yeah, I'm just kidding.
That's a hell of a thing to say to a lady. Why don't you just...
Wait a minute. Don't even let that bother you. That doesn't bother me in the least.
If you popped out a darkie, what would...
What does that mean, popped out a darkie?
What's that, sir?
What does that mean, popped out a darkie?
Excuse me. Can I talk with him?
Hold on. Who's talking? Oh, is this Mr. Henry? Hello?
This is Nancy.
Is this Phil? Yeah, go ahead, Phil.
Excuse me, Mr. Bonafide?
Yes. Yes, Phil.
I told you that we have 8 children. My one son died when he was 3 and a half.
Why don't you ever talk about this on your show?
I'm Phil. She's the caller.
I can't hear because...
All right, look it. Would you hold on, Nancy, for a minute?
Sure.
1-800-449-8686. If that gentleman could get to a place in the train where perhaps we could hear something, we'd probably be...
Vancouver.
Will you turn it off,
By request, it's a flashback from late last year with Lloyd on the train. Vancouver, Bend, Corvallis, Santa Barbara. It's like the bullet train. Oh, man. Anyway, that's by request from Steve in Boston. Thank you, Steve. If you have a request, you better get it in and out, baby. Because it won't be long now. Be the 23rd of June is our last broadcast, so if you got a request, you know what we got to do is just, like, do a day where we play all the requests that are backlogged. See what I'm saying? And then people who are requesting can get new ones in. How many of you got backlogged, Mark? Do you know?
About 30. What do you mean, backlogged?
Backlogged as in, I see what you're thinking. What a filthy mind. I mean.
But you said it.
Backlogged means it's backed up.
Yeah, I'll bet.
All right. Anyway, forget it. About 30, you'd say? All right, 30. Well, hell, we could do that in a day and a half. So we'll take a day. We'll play like half of the ones we have. And then another day we'll do half. And that way we can get people in. But anyway, the email address is phs@philhenryshow.com. That's phs@philhenryshow.com. And we'll be able to play your flashback request. And don't forget, our website is a great place to access our audio. You go to the website, www.philhenryshow.com. You can go download what you want, whatever. It's cool. You know, I just want to see some of the money for that. That's all we're asking. That's all we ask. Go and download if you will, my child. But leave a taste for me in the collection box. Leave a taste for me in the box. All right, we'll be right back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show with email and more news and a life imitates Phil.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back, 1-800-449-8686.
Yeah, Jeff, what do you got?
Just came over the wire, Mr. Henry, that Steve Howe has died, and I know it's probably going to be a lot of shocking.
Steve Howe, huh?
Yeah, I just got the news now, and I've gone emailed it over to you, and I don't know whether or not you want to look at it, but it's pretty sad. And I know that people are fans of his.
Oh yeah, here it is. Here, Steve Howe dead at the age of 48.
I wanted to just, Mr. Henry, try and put in perspective what I heard about last night. Did a lady jump off the top of your building?
Did a lady jump off the top of what, here?
Yeah, did a lady jump off of the top?
When was that, Mark? I think a lady did jump off. It was 2 years ago.
It was 2 years ago? Because I'm just hearing about it now.
Well, it was 2 years ago a lady jumped off the top of the building.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, let me put it into perspective. Friend of mine and I were in New Zealand, and we were bungee jumping at a gorge. It's called Fettering Gorge, and it's a 300-foot drop gorge, okay? At the bottom of it is a flat rock, but it's a 300-foot gorge, so it's pretty safe that you're not going to hit the rock. Although, if the cord broke or something like that, yeah, you would, all right? Well, while we were down there, I was going down. I went down to a concession area to get something to drink, a Foster's, and the cord broke on this one guy, and the guy hit the rock from 300 feet. Okay, now I don't know if you've ever seen anybody that's hit a flat surface from like 300 feet up, but what it is there. Okay, it's not bad, but everything's flattened out. And so, and also, like, their leg will be up near their ear or something, as if a steamroller went over them.
Why are you telling me this, man?
Because of you'd been talking about the lady that jumped off the top of the building.
That was 2 years ago. 2 years ago.
Well, I was just catching up on some of your broadcasts on my iPod.
Well, look at dude. I mean, I'm grateful, but.
Anyway, it's pretty bad about Steve Howe.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right here. Steve Howe has died. For those of you who knew his work, Steve was the relief pitcher, had a very, very promising career, but it was derailed by cocaine and alcohol abuse. He died Friday when his pickup truck rolled over in Coachella Valley, which is out here. It's Palm Springs, basically. He was 48 years old. Steve Howe was killed at 5:55 this morning, about 130 miles east of L.A., according to the Riverside Sheriff. He'd been in Arizona.
Well, hold on. What are you talking? Who's that?
Steve Howe.
Well, I don't know if he might have gone on to play baseball, but he was also played guitar for Yes. And
are you an idiot or something, man? I'm talking about the baseball player, not the guitar player. No, that's two different guys.
There's two guys.
Steve Howe? I mean, pretty common name. Hi, I'm Steve Howe. Yeah, I'm Steve Howe. I bet you if you Google Steve Howe, there's an insurance guy named Steve Howe.
All right, okay, fine. Do you also play hockey?
No.
Well, how come there's a Steve Howe who played hockey?
You're talking about Gordie Howe?
Oh, yeah. All right, man, okay, so I screwed that up. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, you may say, why don't I stop smoking weed? I don't choose to. That's my decision.
Well, I would say you should stop smoking weed if you don't know the difference between Steve Howe and Gordie Howe. And I'd say you should stop smoking dope even if you don't know the difference between Steve Howe and Steve Howe, the guitar player.
Why?
Why? Are you... why? They're completely different guys, man. One guy's from England with long hair, and the other guy's this kid that plays baseball.
All right, but that is my choice, and I may make that choice one day. But right now I'm comfortable with the amount of cannabis that I do have.
Well, okay, man. I hope you are comfortable with it, because you may be cruising along one day, and since you don't know the difference between Steve Howe, and Gordie Howe, you may think, well, hell, it says detour cliff ahead, but maybe that's, you know...
What? What are you talking about, man? You're high.
Yeah, all right. Good luck. Steve Howe, the relief pitcher, not Steve Howe of Yes. He's fine. Steve Howe, the relief pitcher whose promising career was derailed by cocaine and alcohol abuse, died Friday when his pickup truck rolled over in Coachella, California. Toxicology tests have yet to be performed. Now, I remember when Steve Howe came up with the Dodgers as a rookie, he was a hell of a pitcher, hell of a ball player. Unfortunately, his problems set in very, very shortly thereafter. For all of his success in the field, Howe was constantly troubled by addiction. He was suspended 7 times, became a symbol of the rampant cocaine problem that plagued baseball in the 1980s. And you know that there was Daryl Strawberry, there was Doc Gooden. If I gave it some thought, man, who else, Wayne? I can't read lips, you turd. He's in there going, Howe was 47-41 with 91 saves and a 3.03 ERA with the Dodgers, Twins, Rangers, and Yanks. A moment of silence was observed at Yankee Stadium before New York played Toronto on Friday night. That's this very evening. Howe played for the Yankees from 91-96. He tried to make a comeback with the Yankees. He failed. He was arrested in New York at JFK carrying a loaded 357 Magnum inside his suitcase. He later pleaded guilty to gun. That's just dumb. It's just dumb. He later pled guilty to gun possession. He was placed on 3 years probation. He tried to come back in 1997 with Sioux Falls of the Independent Northern League and retired after injuring his forearm. That August, he was critically injured in a motorcycle accident in Montana. He was charged with drunk driving. Those charges later dropped when they decided his blood test was improperly obtained. He was very talented, according to Mike Socia, who was a teammate of his on those early Dodger years. And I think they won the... When did he break in with the Dodgers? Well, they won the World Series in 81. I know that. I don't know if he was part of the team in 88 or not. I don't think he was. Said former Dodger manager Tommy Lasorda, Steve played for me for 5 years, and I thought the world of him. I'm truly sorry to hear about his passing and my deepest sympathies. Howe was suspended for the 84 season by Commissioner Bowie Kuhn for cocaine use. He was out of Major League Baseball in 1986 after a relapse, so he never was part of the 88 Dodger World Series. In recent years, Howe owned an energy drink company in Arizona. His goal was to bring an all-natural energy drink to the United States, said one of his business associates. He was so giving, always trying to help people. He always used to say, I'm all about the underdog. And when baseball began checking for steroids in 2005, Howe said he supported a testing program. I was one of the first to be fried and tried, he said. Yet Howe said he did not think the steroid problem was as big as some believe. For whatever reason, holes have been dug by everybody, so you do what it takes to clear it, he said at the time. A guy asked me one time, how bad is the drug problem in Major League Baseball? And I said, go take a survey of your housewives, your doctors, your lawyers, your people down the street, and there you got your problem. Good point. Steve Howe, 48 years old, fireballing, fastball throwing, damn good pitcher, man, when he had it. But it wasn't for very long, and like I just read to you there, by 86 he was done, and by 84 he was suspended for the first time. He died today in Riverside County, California, in a truck accident. What a drag. And Billy Martin went out the same way, didn't he?
Yeah, and Babe Ruth.
How did Babe Ruth go out that way?
Didn't he roll a truck?
He didn't roll a truck.
Well, Billy Martin rolled it. I'm trying to think of the other guy that rolled. Lou Gehrig?
Lou Gehrig died of Lou Gehrig's disease, you jackass. And if you say to me one more time, ain't it a coincidence that Lou Gehrig died of Lou Gehrig's disease?
I heard it on The Sopranos.
I don't care where you heard it. It's the stupidest joke in history.
And Honus Wagner.
Honus Wagner. How did he die?
He rolled his truck out into Palm Springs.
Are you high on something, man? What is it? Every cat now rolled a truck?
Well, how come Billy Martin did? Then Steve Howe, Roy Campanella.
All right, now Roy Campanella was in an automobile accident, and he was paralyzed, but he didn't die from it. Lou Gehrig didn't roll a truck, and Honus Wagner didn't roll his truck out in Palm Springs.
How do you know?
I don't know, man. I'll bet you freaking money. I'll bet you all the money that I got in my pocket right now, which is $40. How much you got?
Hold on. One.
Oh, that they see that.
Two. Three. Four.
Okay, how much? Let's say you got $5, huh?
Wait, five. Six. Seven.
All right, I got to go, bud. I got to take a break.
Eight. Hold on. $8 and 16 cents.
All right. I'll bet you $8.16 that Honus Wagner didn't roll his truck.
You give me odds?
Do I give you odds? Yeah, I'll give you 5-1. How about that, bud?
Bitchin'. Then I can make $40 plus 16 times 5.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back, 1-800-449-8686.
You trying to insult my intelligence?
Why?
You given me a list of people that rolled their truck, and that's how they died.
Yeah.
Vince Lombardi, huh?
I'm pretty sure.
Peggy Fleming, she rolled a truck and died. Bob Cousy and Scott Hamilton all rolled their truck.
I'm pretty sure.
You aren't sure of jack squat. A, Lombardi died of cancer. B, Peggy Fleming's still alive. So's Cousy, so's Bob Hamilton.
Okay, how Honus Wagner died?
I can't find out how Honus Wagner died. Every biography I read about the guy just talks about baseball. Or baseball.
Baseball? How'd Sherwood Anderson die?
Who?
Sherwood Anderson. I'll bet you double or nothing.
You ain't won nothing yet, man, okay? Sherwood Anderson, how did he die?
Choked on a toothpick.
Who is he?
I don't know.
All right, man. So thanks a lot for nothing. You know, it ain't funny making jokes about how people die, and it sure ain't funny making jokes about a cat dying when he's still alive, okay?
How did Neil Bonnet die?
How would I know how Neil Bonnet died?
Think about it. How did he die?
Neil Bonnet died? I don't know.
A car crash, you moron. He's a race car driver.
Well, I didn't know that. And I don't know who Sherwood Anderson is either. How did Vince Lombardi die? He rolled his truck in Palm Springs. You know what, man? One of these days, you're going to go out of control on that freaking bike, and finally that tree will do what it should have done to you 16 years ago. Just put your freaking head out of commission for good. Running your head into a oak tree. You know what the problem with you is? I think that steel plate, man. I think it's picking up too much crap.
How'd James Dean die?
James Dean died in an automobile accident in Paso Robles, California.
No, he didn't. He died of a heart attack.
See you later, dummy. Died of a heart attack. All right, it's time now to take a look at some email here on the Phil Henry Show. I don't want to do it anymore, okay?
No, look at it.
Get it out of here, man. I don't want your list of people that rolled trucks. How did Neil Bonnet die? Gee, I don't know. A car crash. He was a race car driver. Ha, 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 ha. Time now to take a look at some email. Really nice folks here. I got one. Oh, look at this. I got an. Well, first of all, I want to mention, because I didn't mention, I got an email from Ann Coulter, who said that she's wearing black and that it is a day of mourning for her. She's talking about our announcement yesterday that this show will broadcast its last on June 23rd. Ann said she's only wearing black or nothing at all. Here's one from our buddy Whitney Allen. She's over at KZLA. And Whitney, thank you. She said, I am very sad to hear that you are splitting, man. I always was able to say, hey, I was in the same business as Phil. But I am very happy for you pursuing your dream. You go, baby. I'll miss you on the drive home. You're up against my syndicated show, but I can still listen to you. Anyway, I'll keep it short. I'm happy to have made your photo page. You sure did. I'm not much of a radio geek anymore, as radio's lost a lot of its magic and mystique, but you and your show always kept me fired up. Best wishes, lots of love and respect. Whitney Allen. She's a sweet girl. Thanks, Whitney. And I never did make it over to your Halloween party either, which I hear was always a good time. Here's one from Rabbi Mentz. What a nice guy he was. Rabbi Mentz called my show. In fact, he called my show and talked to a fake voice until he found out what the show is about. It says here, Dear Phil, amazing news. You're a huge influence on how I did radio. Are you kidding me, Rabbi? One of my greatest memories was when we were all at KFI late in the afternoon on 9/11. David wasn't sure to allow you on the radio, and we were watching the news. I was on radio already for 5 hours, all drained. Others were there, all feeling very comatose from the events of the day, and somehow you went on a tirade for 5 minutes and had everyone in stitches. You made us all feel, at least me, that life goes on and we will somehow be okay. I'm the rabbi doing this to others. You took the role. Yeah, way back when I first heard you, I was another listening sucker, and I feel proud of it. We had a guy who was pretending he was committing suicide in a garage, and Rabbi called up. Rabbi Mentz called up and said, but you have a great deal to live for, Joe. You got a great deal of it. No, that's it. It's all over, Rabbi. Anyway, thank you, Rabbi. You're a good man. All right, I got to take a break, so that's it for the email. Good night. No, we'll be right back. 1-800-449-8686 is our phone number, but we're not taking calls, so I just thought I'd give you that. You can kind of memorize it or do things with it. Play one of those funny games.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, here's another email. It says, Phil, the first time I heard your show was on KFI in L.A. It was during the Bob Dole, Bill Clinton election. Bobby Dooley was on talking about how Bob Dole could make his bad arm better if he did push-ups. Oh, yeah. Thanks for the laughs, Phil. God bless you. I believe you to be immortal. All right, thank you. Dear Phil, radio sure is going to suck ass without you. Godspeed and good luck, buddy. Thanks for reading this, Lawrence. Phil, a few days ago I heard someone on the radio and I was amazed to hear how much it sounded like you. Imagine my surprise when he said he was the very guy, Tom Likas. I don't know how it's spelled. Guy spelled it L-Y-K-U-S. That's it, man. My mouth was open as I listened in amazement. There actually is a jackball. It sounds just like that. I thought you were exaggerating when you did the voice of Comb-Over Boy. Oh, my God, I love you, Phil. Thanks, Julie. She doesn't know I'm retiring.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.